And weather in Christchurch today, early showers. They're mostly fine with northeasterlies, high of 17 degrees in town right now. We're on 11 degrees. And it's all come together. This is an exciting time for me. On the line right now, I've got Te Uruwa Flavel from the Maori Party. Good morning, Mr. Flavel.
Kia ora, Frankie. How are you today?
So good. Nice to have you on the show. It's the first time we've had someone from the Maori Party on the show, so we're very keen on your perspective.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, firstly, what's the problem here with you wanting to see Te Reo in every school? Is that right?
Now, what we're looking at is making it compulsorily available. So, expecting that, you know, there's going to be differences of the number of kids and makeup of a community, that as long as it was compulsorily available by 2015, then we're comfortable enough with that.
So that means that every school has to be able to provide it.
It means that if a group of parents attending a school believe that their children can benefit from Te Reo Māori, then they should have the ability to ask the school to deliver that, and the school would have a responsibility to deliver that by 2015.
And your challenge for that will be people that can actually teach it.
Yeah, no, that's true. And what we've done is sort of in our policy statement is backed it up by looking towards an all-out recruitment campaign of those who are speakers of Māori, and indeed those who want to be speakers of Māori and into the teaching profession. So that's one part. We've got to get more teachers, and we're looking towards a recruitment campaign, as I say, which will require teachers who do go through get a scholarship. They would be required or bonded, indeed, to deliver back 3 years of teaching in the classroom, so that they don't just get the qualification and take off. And the second part, of course, is going to require a good professional development program that would allow those people in the system to be able to be upgraded to deliver Te Reo Māori. And the third part would be the resources. But there are currently a heap of resources available out there that are available for Māori language teaching. So I kind of personally, I think that we've sort of got that covered, but you can never have enough resources. And the other part, of course, is making sure that there are enough that are available for the schools that might take up this program.
John Key must go to bed terrified that things like this are going to flare up, I bet. Because even though it looks like they may be able to govern alone, I know they want to be able to keep you guys and ACT on side. It's a good look. ACT aren't happy, though. They don't like this whole idea.
Well, who cares? I don't like a lot of things that ACT has got too, but that doesn't matter. In the end, the relationship that you have is with the governing parties. So our relationship this last 3 years has been with National, not ACT. And similarly, ACT have had their agreement with National. So, I mean, that's just how politics runs in the end. I don't think that the Prime Minister is sort of tossing and turning about this one. I mean, there's huger issues over and above that. And I think the country's moved on, because a number of commentators have suggested that, you know, people will be turned off. But it's actually, I don't think so. Especially if it actually comes from communities that say that they would like to have Māori language available for their children. And I think you can look at it from two angles. Number one, as a Māori, I think it's a birthright that the education system of this country offers one of the official languages should be available in a compulsory fashion and where the communities ask for it. And my experience over the last years, since things have moved on, has been that many non-Māori parents have actually enjoyed the experience of being involved in the learning of Māori language and culture. It brings another dimension to this whole question of nationhood. And so it's nothing but a win-win situation for everyone. In the end, the loss of the language would be the catastrophe for the country, because it's not as if we can go back home to France to learn French. It's not about that. Actually, there's only one place you can learn Māori, and that's in this country. And I think that even if we think back to, say, 15 years or so, when Hinewehi Mōi first sang the national anthem in Māori, there's one hell of an uproar about that. Now, it's taken as read, and just about most New Zealanders know the Māori word. So I think we're on the right track to really addressing the whole issues of biculturalism and indeed a recognition of Māori languages and being an important part of our culture in New Zealand.
It feels a bit like, though, that the Māori Party is so ruddy-minded around Te Reo and getting that out there, that in fact there's some pretty significant issues that face Māoridom right now. Is this not just John Key? He sort of throws you a little piece of fish and you know, this is your time in the sun. But in fact, in terms of dealing with justice issues and health issues of Māori, you're not really getting any traction.
No, I don't agree with that. I think we've made huge friction, but in the sense that we're a small party. I mean, what we do is in our relationship is that we only have to. To put it in perspective, the whole issue about Māori language being compulsory available in schools is but one part of a policy manifesto that we've written up and are presenting to the constituency. We have got policies that are around to do with law, with broadcasting, with education, with the courts, the constitutional review. There's umpteen things that we've got policies on, and I'm not too sure what the. I think that the issue of the language being compulsorily being available just simply came out of the fact that it was one part of our education policy launched last week. And people got locked into it, the media got locked into it and decided that they'd make it a bigger issue. I haven't heard a comment from John Key, to be truthful, about what he believes about this policy. But you're right, there are some huge issues to do that we have to address in Aotearoa. And like I say, the issue about compulsory and Māori language being available is but one of an umpteen of one line or two lines on a policy manifesto that stretches 24 pages. So I think that we've been trying to be pretty comprehensive to match up with the bigger parties to present our view of where we think the country should be heading.
Lastly, Te Uroa, why should a Pākehā chap like myself vote for the Māori Party in 12 days? Or are you not interested in my vote at all?
Of course we are. Of course we are. I mean, a hard part is, of course, getting that traction to get people to understand how to use that vote. The first thing I'd say to you is, yes, we are obviously interested in your vote for the party vote. We've always struggled to get the party vote because of a couple of misconceptions. One is that the Māori Party is only for Māori. Well, that's not correct because our membership is a broad range of people who believe in the philosophy that we follow. That is, well, what's good for Māori is good for everyone. They can see some clarity and common sense around the policy platforms that we've got. They can see that the policy stuff that we're talking about is contributing to nationhood, and it does bring a Māori perspective that all too often gets lost by the bigger parties. In a sense, they understand about MMP because that's where we play a part as a partner in a minority government. If it is that MMP will not deliver a sort of one party to govern by themselves, then the governing party, National or Labour, as being the two major players, will always have to look for some friends. And you might not necessarily agree on everything, but you do have some common themes through your strategy that allow you, the government, to carry out the program that they put and sort of mandate from in an election. But it also means that they've got to take some cognizance of the smaller parties, whether it be the Māori Party Act or the Green Party, to see if they cannot advance the whole the country forward, because it's not as if the National or Labour got a mortgage on good ideas. Mm. So we kind of like to think, just for you personally, that we got some good ideas as well, and that we are about moving the nation forward, that we do present a different view, which happens to be a Māori world view to the policy plank of the nation, that the major parties can't necessarily deliver. And it's all about working together. The things that we have are working with the National Party that delivers the best outcomes for Aotearoa. If we achieve that, then I think that we're playing a hugely important part in the political landscape of Aotearoa.
Hey, it's very nice talking. Thanks for your time, my friend.
No problem. Thanks, Mike, and nice to talk to you.
Okay, catch you. Bye-bye. See ya. Bye. That is Te Uroa Flavel. Oh, well, Spanky Spark. It's all pretty much the same thing. Four minutes to nine on RDU, 98.5 FM.